You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The entire crew is not here. We have dwindled down to three. We got Jay Moore at Red August taking care of some grown folk business. But we're still here, starting off with my man Longevity, who is multitasking today. So he is playing Red August's position and on-site producing and all that is live. So y'all bear with my man. I'm going to go to Terry first.
I'm good now.
Yeah, are you good?
Because we have to wait till the music ends before I can come in. That's the only thing.
Fair enough. So I'm excited about this game you're about to give us.
I'm back.
How are you, man? You got any game for us since Jay Moore is gone?
Yeah, kicking, flying, and flapping and stuff, man. Just like it's like pimps in the clouds.
You that fly, huh?
Super fly.
That's what's up.
I'm going to leave that alone, man.
I mean, not really. I'm just regular.
That's game, though. That's game. It's still game. J-Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How's everything?
Everything is everything.
How's your shoe shopping going?
I'm trying to scale back, man.
You hit a lick with the Adidas, though.
I did. The Hebrew Brantleys. Yeah.
Nice pickup. You know me, I'm a hater. I was impressed.
I know. I was surprised.
Yeah. I gave you your P's, all right?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, that's a good pickup.
But it was a, you really wasn't trying to give me the P's.
I hated it at first, and then I caught myself and said, you know what? That's a good pickup.
Yeah.
Those shoes are fire.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay out of trouble, man, so.
Hard though, man. The algorithm gets you, man.
Yeah, it keeps
ads pop up.
They do. They know what you like.
Yeah, especially if you click on one somewhere else and you scroll through Facebook. Now it's 12 ads.
Yep. So. I don't like that shit. I caught myself.
Yeah, you did. Just be careful, brother, out there. Just scroll up. Just keep doing this. Shout out to the chat, man. The chat is alive and well, and I'm seeing a lot of laughing emojis and laugh out louds. I think they like long giving that game. So. All right, man, let's go.
I don't know if I would call it game.
That was game. That was game. I don't know about the execution, but the game was there, though. What you said was game.
Yeah.
The execution is something else. We'll leave that alone. All right, man, let's go ahead and jump into the room. So Hov says he doesn't charge for features, and I'm actually.
And no, you can't get one.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised about this because I thought, you know, a Jay-Z feature would be almost like hitting the lottery. But in an interview with Kevin Hart, he says he does the features just off his relationships and he never charges for the features. But he did admit that there are way more no's than yeses. And he said he tries not to, you know, string people along if he's not going to do the feature. But I was surprised at somebody of whole stature that he just would, you know, toss features out there. Then I had to pull back and think about the features that he does. And he talked about, you know, it's either through the relationships or if it's somebody that's extremely talented, which is a good thing. I respect that. But were you guys shocked when you heard that Hov doesn't charge for features? Because I thought it would have been a bag.
Not really, personal
opinion. No? Mm-mm. You think he's to a point now where it doesn't matter?
I mean, Hov is a godfather, man.
True.
I mean, he's in a position to where, like you said, he picks and chooses which songs he wants to be featured on.
Right.
He gets in there. He goes off. The song does well. Although he didn't charge on the front end, I guarantee you get some kind of royalty from that.
That part.
So it's kind of banking on, I know what this is going to do. So I'm going to go ahead and give you this favor. Or not even necessarily a favor. I'm going to throw you a solid. I'm not even going to charge you because it's not like he needs the bread.
At all.
You know, he's in a position to where he can do whatever he wants to do. And again, up and coming MCs, that doesn't mean that he's going to give you a verse just because he doesn't charge for the verse.
Right.
Because he probably wants to compete. He wants to be on a track with somebody that is his A-alike or somebody he considers a peer or even somebody that he considers maybe somebody he's mentoring or something. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, I really didn't see that as a big surprise at all.
I think it's dope. I just, you know, when you look at Jay for who he is, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, that's got to cost Because that's life. That's a life changing. Could we agree? That's a life changing feature, right?
Depends on who's featured is. I mean, because if you consider his latest features have been with who? Pusha T.
I could expect that.
You can Kanye. Expect that. Kanye.
Right. Yep.
Nipsey.
Yep.
These are people that you would think that he would rap with anyway.
And Nate Jeezy said in the chat, Jay only getting on the track if it's a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's
Nas.
Yeah, Nas. Jay Electronica. He did a whole album with Jay Electronica.
Yeah.
That was a moment. I don't think the moment was necessarily great, but
it and
was
that might have been because, I mean, Jay Electronica has literally been sitting on Roc Nation for how long?
Long enough where I can't remember how long it is.
Right, so it's almost like he owed that man that.
True.
I feel like, one, I question the actual validity of it. Like, to what extent does he mean?
How easy
you know,
he's
like,
saying it?
And how long it's been that way.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, he's probably telling the truth, right? But I don't know.
Do you think this applies to Jay 10 years ago?
That's
is that what you're saying?
That's my question. Was this Jay-Z 20 years ago?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like when he was at his rise, you know. But it also could mean a couple things. It could mean that he's only focused on the mechanical royalties or his publishing aspect. So maybe he doesn't charge people for like recording, you know, like the manual label of recording. Maybe he just wants to collect percentages of streaming or percentages of publishing and stuff
back
like that.
Backing is probably crazy.
Because if you think about it, if you're Jay-Z, doesn't matter if you charge somebody for that stuff. Your people are going to play your song, so you're going to get paid from it.
True.
So, I mean,
I think it's dope that he.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I get it. Like, I've never, you know, like, just personally, like, I've never been somebody that's really liked charging people being a part of the process that I'm doing and vice versa. Like if I reach out somebody for a feature, if somebody wants to get me on a feature, like if we can split stuff like after it's created, then I feel like that's fair in most instances, unless you're just super busy and then you're paying for somebody's time. Right. But in general, like, I don't know. That's my personal stance. I know it's different from most people. Most people want to get paid for the beat and then get the, you know, the royalties and all that other stuff. And I think that's okay. It's just, I've never really cared about that.
I've always been, I think it varies situational sometimes, but for the most part, it's, you know, exchanging goods is something that I've always been down for. It's okay if I give you a beat here or something, then, you know, we exchange, we trade goods. Like we're helping each other out.
Right.
I've never been opposed to that.
But it does depend on who the person is.
That's
it
what I'm saying.
It depends on what it is.
It does.
But I always try to only work with people that I want to work with. You know, like I don't think I've ever sold a beat to anybody that I'm like, man, you suck. Like, why would I do that? Like,
yeah.
It's going to sound better too if you're working with somebody you want to work with. And that's essentially what Jay-Z is doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you said, he doesn't say yes. He said there's more no's than yeses.
Yep.
So obviously he's picking and choosing what he jumps on.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear him do something with Tyler, the Creator.
That would be a good one.
That would be cool.
I think that would be a moment right there. Because Tyler showed that he can indeed rap with his last album.
But I need it to
not
be, I need it to be, to your point, if it's Tyler, it needs to be a Tyler record, though. I don't want him to try to do something
definitely
for Jay. You know what I mean? Like, for Jay-Z. Yeah. Stay in your bag and bring him to
I think he could. I think he would. You know, that I've got so much respect for Tyler, and it just continues to grow. I don't know.
I agree.
Like, I'm not even trying to fanboy. Like, I legitimately appreciate what he does. But Tyler's got one of my favorite rap lines in a long time. He said, "I got so much self-respect, I wash my hands before I piss."
Yo, he's I'm not going to say I missed it, but I was blind to it in the beginning. I'm like, he's a guy that's he's just goofy. He's silly. He's goofy. And that's what I took him as. But as I started listening to the music, I started seeing videos of him making beats and continuously got better as an MC. Our dude is nice. I've been a fan ever since.
Yeah.
He's cold.
I saw, I think it was just today on Twitter, actually, Tyler said, "Lost my phone. So if you're going to message me, don't. If you know who has my phone, contact me.
Contact.
That's like, don't message me.
And he'd be giving Khaled fits too. So I like that.
That's just a bonus.
Khaled love Jay-Z.
Oh, man. He got an album coming out. You hype?
Who does?
Khaled.
I mean, he has an album coming out every year.
Are you hyped, though?
No.
Okay.
Have you ever been hyped?
I was just asking.
I ain't know.
It's more so some of the tracks. I mean, because his last, was that his last album? Like I said, he drops one every year. That one track he had with the baby, or was it Lil Baby? I be getting him confused. Baby and Dirk. That mug was cold.
Now he gonna give you about 3 out of 25 now. And with the 667 features, it's gonna be about 3 on there where you like, yeah, that's
yeah. It'll be some that's gonna hit, but as an overall project, I'm not looking forward to a Khaled release. Normal. If I could get a Jay-Z release this year,
that would be good.
If I could get another Nas release this year,
and Hit Boy,
yeah, yep. Nas, Hit Boy. Mm-hmm. If I could get
I need Killer Mike's album.
Yeah, I could use a solo from Killer Mike.
I could use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in contrast to what we're talking about with Jay, Snoop said he wants $250,000 for a verse and another $250,000 to show up in the video.
But
that's $500,000.
But that's Snoop, and Snoop is about getting money by any means necessary, as you can tell by the bazillion commercials and things he does and everything.
Snoop is getting to the paper.
Like, Snoop... Like, I have a video on YouTube that Snoop's people went and got money from. Like, he's gotten money from stuff that I have done on his behalf. Snoop does that.
Half a meal for the full experience.
He's stacking.
Half a meal for the full experience.
I just saw a clip of him on Martha Stewart's podcast today on TikTok.
Yeah, because she's about to have a whole strain come out because he talked her into getting into the bud business.
Not even mad.
I mean,
not either.
I mean, Snoop is... the most recognizable rapper, man. You can make
ever.
A case.
Everybody knows who Snoop Dogg is.
Snoop is openly, though, he embraces it. Wants to, like you said, he put his name on anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, get your money, Snoop, but I was just trying to compare it from, you know, legend standpoint. But Jay is on a whole different level, man. So salute to him for that. But it's something, like Long said, it's something on that back end somewhere. Hove ain't stupid. He ain't become a Billy like.
We're also leaving out the fact that Jay-Z is married to Beyonce.
True.
I don't think they're hurting for any money.
Mm-mm. Nah, not at all. Not at all, Mike.
Not at all.
His daughter's getting credits on albums already.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man.
Swiss Beats boy can play the piano.
Sure can.
Like a mug. Like, he's really good at it.
Hmm.
I guess good that's genes. Him and Alicia Keys' child, right? Or is it the one?
I think it's
prior.
I think it's their. I think it's their child together.
Is it? Did they have a child together?
Yeah, one son.
Do they?
Remember the one that had a? They have one child together, I believe.
I don't know,
because he had one in his previous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Inquiring minds want to know.
And I'm not an inquiring mind.
There you go.
On Swiss Beats' personal life.
Well, Swiss Beats is about to have an EP coming out on that the Mass Appeal collab with Primo and Nas. Can't wait to hear that. Wonder what the features are going to be. Guess we have to wait and see.
Probably be a posthumous.
I was just going to say that.
DMX verse.
They going to sneak one in.
I was just going to say that.
Might turn it into a whole joint and just put splice two verses together.
When I started, I finished.
Yeah. And I know Lone, I know your ears are, I know you can't turn it off. You can hear when the verses are, you can too, when those verses are spliced versus, you know, just something that they had around. You could tell.
Well, we know that this is most likely something that they would have just had around.
I mean, he probably got, I'm just saying, some of them are probably recorded better versus the ones they might try to patch together, but
maybe.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be mad if he had a song with DMX, a song with Eve.
Yeah,
a Lock song,
mm-hmm.
and a Nas song. I mean, what ain't we doing with five songs?
Yeah, I believe it's 5 tracks for each EP.
Right, so we need one more person.
Yeah, so who will be the fifth for that? You said Nas, Eve, DMX, Lox. That's 4.
Who else?
Who would have been from that era?
Or who sounds good on a Swiss Beats beat?
I don't even know.
Yeah, outside of the people that you named, no, I don't.
He's so hit and miss for me, so.
100% hit and miss. Legendary producer, though, but he's definitely hit and miss.
Yeah.
I agree. Maybe I'm a hater, but oh well.
Anyways.
All right,
man. Repetitive.
Yeah, he, remember him and Tim was doing their battles on IG. Like, try this, and it was boom, tap, 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 tap. I said, oh, man, come on, bro.
Yeah, that's his favorite.
Yeah, he likes that one. All right, man, let's go ahead and go to the next topic. Favorite, I thought it, what made me think about this was favorite hip-hop moments of all time, and I was watching Fade to Black. Last night, I was watching Fade to Black, and whenever I watch it all the way through.
Jay-Z movie?
Yeah, the Kanye session. Who else did he have? He was with Timbo. He was with, he's recording 99 Problems, like the concert series, seeing Beans and all that. And it got me thinking about hip-hop, like actual hip-hop moments since we've been fans of hip-hop. I personally think that Fade to Black documentary coming out and it quote-unquote being Jay's last album, that is that's one of the moments, one of my favorite hip-hop moments that I can remember. Because I remember being hype about the documentary. I remember being hype about the Black album. I remember being excited about, you know, him working with X amount of different producers. Quick, Ninth was on there. Eminem was on there. Timbo was on there. Who am I missing that produced on the Black album? Was Prink?
I don't know.
Prink wasn't on there.
Primo did Warning, didn't he?
Just Blaze.
No,
Just Blaze was on there.
Threats.
No, well, Ninth did Threats.
Ninth did do Threats.
Pharrell was on there with Allure. I remember that being a dope moment. I remember being excited about that. Are there any moments that stick out to you all just in general where you say, man, that was a dope moment in hip-hop? I remember being extremely excited about, you know, XYZ happening. Is there anything to just kind of...
That was definitely a moment for me. They're like,
the Black album?
Even hearing that go off, I'm like, there's no way this is Jay-Z's last. There's no way he's going to leave like this.
Yeah.
Because he was at such a high pinnacle.
Yeah.
When the Black album came out. But I will say, Get Rich or Die Trying was a moment in time that was pretty solid as far as 50 coming out. That was a sought after album.
Good call.
What else?
That's a good call, actually. I remember that.
Mine was more like a period of time as opposed to a moment.
To one thing, okay.
Yeah, like I can't really like pick like a moment necessarily, except for like going to that Blue and Exile concert that we went to in Chicago. That was dope.
Yes.
You know what I mean? A3C, when we went, you know, a lot of it's related to like performing and stuff too, but.
Do you have a certain era in mind?
Yeah, yeah. So the era for me is right around like 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, in that kind of area, kind of pre-blog era, you know. I remember I and the reason why is because I was just discovering everything. You know, that was like I was already familiar with Like Water for Chocolate, but that's around the time that I got familiar that Dilla did it. And so I got into learning what his past was, you know. That's where I got hip to Murs and Ninth Wonder's album, which then turned me on to Little Brother, which then turned me on to a whole slew of West Coast music. Like, and went down that entire rabbit hole of like Alchemist and Dilated Peoples and all the underground West Coast legends, you know, Blue and Exile. I remember I found out about that album on a San Diego message board that I was a part of. You know,
I think you told Pete Say who put me on.
I'm
not mistaken.
Bro, I don't even know at this point. But what I will say is that moment in time was, there's just so much music discovery. And I think that's the part that I keep trying to, like, when I latch onto it, like I'm never going to be able to get back to that moment.
Right.
But plus it was before we started blogging and I kind of got tired of music.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it if you haven't been there, but it's,
yeah, it's definitely, it's real.
Are they,
I'll say another big moment for me in hip hop was, when Wu-Tang Forever came out.
Oh, man.
And going to that tour, which actually was the last time they came to Indianapolis as a group.
Yeah.
Well,
when did that drop? 97 or 90?
97, I heard.
But summer 97.
Yeah, summer. Yep.
Man, that concert was epic. Like,
That's a it local, so, local legend.
Yeah, it was so, I can't even, I'm down there getting chills thinking about it because it was like, it was just such a moment.
Yeah.
That it was so much energy in there that you can't even really describe it, man, but it was awesome.
I will also say for me,
Double LP World Excited.
I will also say, like, hearing Eminem for the first time was super unique because it was like, who is this random? Because it was My Name Is, was the single, and it was on TRL.
Yeah.
And I remember I didn't even, somebody on the bus coming home from high school told, that doesn't even listen to hip hop music, told me about it. It was some random woman, a girl, you know, but, and I just like, no, never heard of him, but just like, it was just so different. I'd never really seen like a white rapper before, you know.
He stood in that manner. He stood way out.
And he stood way out. He was just different. I didn't really know what to think of him, to be honest.
I didn't honestly when I first heard Eminem, I wasn't about to mess with him because My
weird.
Name is just like, all right, look at this little blonde haired dude. Like when I was thinking of hip hop dudes that was white that would rap, I'm thinking Beastie Boys. I'm thinking Third Bass.
MC Search.
Yeah, that's Third Bass.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Or even House of Pain. And I didn't really like House of Pain.
Yeah.
But so when I seen Eminem, and it was like, man, who is this dude? And then, I mean, if you were to go by his first song or first single, about how he really is, then you actually would have missed out on some dope shit or stuff, you know? You know where it is. But anyway, it just wasn't it for me. Not that song. It was like TRL stuff.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't it. But
I think that's why we always talk about like how Eminem brought like an entire white fan base over.
Yeah.
100%.
You know, and because he was just so shockingly different. Like, I remember like I already listened to hip hop, but it was just like, this is different. I don't know. Like, even his first single was like, I don't know. It was like kind of comical. It was like a comic book.
It was comical.
You know I mean, he had on the superhero suit with the E on it. And you know what I mean? All the crazy stuff.
There's no way
videos.
I would have thought that same Eminem would have been the Eminem that we know today. There's no way.
Right.
I'm thinking, Nate Jeezy says bombs over Baghdad.
Somebody
crazy
said,
movie.
Somebody says,
oh, yeah.
Smooth Hoosier said Staggily. Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
What was Staggily? What was his big BT hit?
Oh,
I don't even remember.
Oh man, I remember Staggily.
Nate is right about bombs over Baghdad.
I'm gonna agree with
video.
Him on Outkast. Period. Outkast was a group that I looked forward to hearing every time they came out. Like I had to have whatever new Outkast was dropping. So yeah.
What about I'm gonna throw this at you guys. What about this one?
Country Grammar.
Country Grammar was a moment.
That was a hit.
Yeah, that was a moment.
It was just plus it was like Midwest music too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about, let me fact check my album, make sure I'm correct. Hip Hop Is Dead, but Nas around that time when, you know,
album did not.
I didn't care about
that.
I'm talking about Black Republicans with Jay and Nas.
Okay, that was a moment.
I think that was a moment too. Even though that album wasn't the craziest, it had some heat on there, but it wasn't the crazy. The album wasn't the
that was just
album.
A moment because that just meant that the Jay-Z Nas beef was squashed.
Because you remember they had to sit down on MTV, right? And who did that interview?
They had a performance at the or somewhere or another
where he brought Nas out.
Yeah,
that was a moment. And then I remember seeing the track list and it saying Black Republicans and it had Jay on it, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And they sampled, what was the sample for that song?
I don't know.
Oh, man. You know it if you hear. Either way, I thought that was a pretty cool moment. Lone, I like yours about that era. I like that
because
I remember
too,
that era.
Because like,
I remember that
I mean, when I think about even my high school years.
Yeah.
My high school years was something you can consider the golden age of just some of the dopest stuff I've ever heard in my life, and maybe taking that era for granted because you're living it, so it's like you're thinking everything is gonna sound like this,
right.
And it doesn't. But like between, I would say 94 to 98,
that's a good era.
The whole bunch of stuff mixed up in there. I mean, my senior year, Biggie and Tupac died my senior year. First semester, Tupac. Second semester, Biggie. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And those were soundtracks for me. Yeah. Literally.
I mean, that's a good era.
This whole like conversation goes back to when we were talking about how music kind of marks time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot of my moments are specifically related to finding out about stuff or something like that. Like I remember, I can still visualize when you picked me up, when we went to play that Martin Luther King Jr. thing.
At the Wigwam. Yep.
And you played Ghostface.
Supreme Clientele.
Yeah, you played the skip track. Like, that, you know, like it stands out. And that was, what, 98, 9, 10, or 2000? I don't know. One of those years.
Yeah, right. Somewhere 92. In there.
Yeah, so, because it came out in 2000, I think, or 99, one or two. But, yeah. So, like, that stands out to me. You know, yeah. like buying Jurassic 5's album and then not liking it stands out to me. You know, like,
I remember being in the record store on a Tuesday when that was coming out.
Yeah.
And looking at that, and I think I ended up that was 99, because I think I want to say Full Clip came out the same day.
Mm. Gangstar.
Gangstar. And I was I'm going with this Gangstar.
So you and chose better than I did.
Yeah.
Shouts to Charlie Tuna, but that Gangstar only had like, or not Gangstar, that Jurassic 5 only had like two cuts I liked.
Yeah, I was cool on that
one. Hey, I remember being, I know exactly where I was at. You brought up Little Brother. I know exactly who I was with and where I was at when I heard The Listening for the first time. That was a moment, because I'm like, who are these guys from, you know, the South that sound like this? They're not supposed, on paper, they're not supposed to sound like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it blew my mind how nice the beats were, and their chemistry, and Fonte obviously stood out. But I remember being like, oh, no, old boy can rap too, though. I remember saying that, you know. Right. We were talking about that. So that was, finding Lil Brother was definitely a moment.
Yeah, yeah. For me too. And so was like finding, listening to Blue in Exile, because I held out on it for a while, because everybody that was on this message board that I was on, shouts to anybody that's listening that was on it was Access Hip Hop based out of San Diego. I think it's still a record store. But like Blame One, shouts to Blame One. Like, he's a rapper. He's a personal friend of Exile. Like, he was on that message board.
Mm-hmm.
And shouts to Ricky Raw. He was on that, linked up and done stuff with Ricky. He got us on A through C the very first time.
Mm.
But there's a whole bunch of musicians and stuff, and they were talking about it, obviously, fresh off the press, because there are people there that literally knew them. And I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And then I listened to it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah,
like,
I slept on it for a little while, too. I don't think I heard that album until, like, probably 2011.
Mm. Yeah, man, I remember hearing that album in... you know, the yo-yo. I remember hearing that, and
yeah.
What's the
hey yo-yo? What up, yo?
What's the main? What's the joint they dropped? What's the single off that album?
Talking about The Listening.
The Listening. What was the?
It's not Whatever You Say, is it?
Was it Whatever You Say?
No. It's
Speed.
Oh, Speed.
Speed. I remember hearing that.
Too fast for me.
Yeah, like I'm like these dudes are, they're gonna bring it. This is great. I was being excited about that. So
Kendrick Lamar, Section 80 was a moment.
Yeah, that was, yeah, who said, did somebody say moment. That?
No, I just did.
Okay, but, okay.
No, that was a moment. That whole Kendrick era before blowing up was a moment, because like literally everything he was dropping was just refreshing.
Cushion Corinthians is super, what super converted me all the way over. I listened to that song. My boy Boog was getting married, and I picked up, you know, Brent Dean. I picked him up.
Yeah.
And he picked me up at the airport. He's like, man, you got to hear this Kendrick Lamar, man. It's this Cushion Corinthians. BJ the Chicago Kid is on the hook. Mm. And I remember we played that song like 20 times in a row. I'm like, who is this dude? Then I went back to Overly Dedicated.
Yeah.
I believe that was the one prior to that. And, you know, we've talked about, do they call Section 80 an album or whatever, right. But... I remember hearing that song, and I'm like, this dude is that guy. He's about to be, you know, one of those guys.
It was a weird moment in time. I legitimately thought, I was like, oh, Kendrick could, like, change the landscape of music.
Exactly. Yeah. He can be one of those guys.
That was before I realized that nobody can really change the landscape. Because
honestly, I was listening to J. Cole before I was listening to Kendrick. Because Kendrick was dropping, I mean, not Kendrick, but J. Cole was dropping a lot of material on that Piff back then. So I was catching all of his mixtapes back then, And then I got hip to Kendrick.
I didn't realize how nice Cole was. I'm the opposite. I got on Cole later, but I didn't realize how nice he was until I heard. I remember the album, but I was asleep on the mixtapes that he's talking about leading up to that. Mm-hmm. So I had to go backwards and listen. I'm like, this dude been blacking out 2 or 3 years before I even found out about him. I didn't know he was that nice.
Yeah.
Like high quality bars though, just destroying everything. So
now what Smooth Hoosier just brought up hearing Drake So Far Gone. I will attest to that was a moment for me, because hearing this dude that could rap and somewhat hold a note here and there. It was dope. It was dope as a whole project, as an album, whatever you want to call it.
It was a fire joint with Lil Brother on that.
Yeah. Drake had the formula to blow. I mean, and he's proved that he could do it. 100%. I mean, he's still here. I mean, a lot of his stuff sounds the same.
Yeah.
It's not as experimental as So Far Gone and Comeback Season.
Yep.
But, I mean,
I would agree that that's a moment, too, because he had there was a groundswell around him. It started to, you know, people started talking about him. And when I heard that joint with Lil Brother, I'm like, oh, man, he reaching out to Lil Brother. That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
And he did reach out to Fonte, is what you're saying.
No, he's still old Fonte. I ain't backing off that. And it hurts my soul to know if Fonte could have been on Lord Knows. Oh, man.
Yeah, Fonte was a whole wave.
That bothers me.
Whole wave for me too. Like finding out about Fonte and Little Brother, like he's still my favorite rapper. Yeah.
Foreign Exchange.
Just the whole again. Yeah. It started with that MERS and Ninth Wonder MERS 16 album, which I think is a classic album.
That MERS 316?
Because that exposed me to everybody that MERS was kind of connected to on the West Coast, and everybody that Little Brother and Ninth Wonder was connected to. And it was a lot of people. It's amazing what collaborations can do.
You know? No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
That was a good moment in time.
Yeah, man. Like you said, we can't get it back. So it's good to at least think about those memories. Those were some good times. Classic material. All right, man. Let's shout out our partners here, Lone.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right.
Shout out to our partners as always. We appreciate that. If you're in the chat, make sure you look at that Patreon link. That's some $3 hollers and some more stuff that we're working on. Y'all sign up, join, and get some suggestions for the show and possibly perhaps be on with us at some point. We're still ironing out some bugs, as they say.
But it's coming.
It's coming. So
yeah,
make sure y'all click on that Patreon. All right, man. So Method Man does not believe that signing to an artist, good thing. Rapper signing to an artist label. Now, he says that he doesn't think, he's always felt like.
Do we have examples of this?
Well, the conversation was on Math Hoppers. You remember you talked about Adam 22 and you were saying something? It was on that podcast. Method Man was with them. And he said, he's always felt like you can't sign to somebody who's still trying to be an artist. He says it's hard. They can't give you the time or attention that you probably need and deserve unless you are your own machine. So Math and the rest of the guys in the shop start giving examples.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But
they talked about Drake, Wayne, Nicki, you know, the Young Money conglomerate. All those people were active artists that were kind of umbrellaed under Cash Money, Wayne. And that thrived. So
that's an anomaly, though.
That's what I was about to say. Is that more of an anomaly? Because, Lone, you pretty much jumped out and said you agree 100%. He even used Diddy as an example. He talked about more how he was still wanting to be an artist.
More people on Young Money didn't make it than that did make it. I mean, you got, like you said, you have Wayne, which is essentially the owner, president.
Right.
Or whatever you want to. No, Mac Mane is like the president or whatever, but anyway, when you think of Young Money, you think of Lil Wayne.
Right.
Then you got Drake. Then you got Nicki Minaj. But what about like Lil Twist and even Tyga and all of them. Tyga would probably be next in line as far as the most popular people.
Okay.
That were on Young Money, but you don't even remember none of the other artists.
I mean, look at, we were talking about Khaled. Look at his We the Best imprint. I can't name.
I don't know anybody. I didn't know anybody was on there except for him.
It was him and what's
my boy name? Oh man, I would not remember it now. I don't know the roster because
he was
never
on a lot
really,
of the early stuff.
Yes, but I can't call a dude's name, but I know who you're talking about.
Ace Hood?
Ace Hood? Yeah, okay. Ace Hood.
Shout out to Smooth
Hood. Who actually has some dope records. Ace Hood has some dope records. But after that, I can't think of any of the We the Best artists. And I know there's more than Ace Hood.
Was Pitbull a We the Best artist or was he?
I don't know. He went out and got some other paper.
Yeah, he got that.
I don't know. The reason why I jumped into it so quick was because I started a label and I kind of changed how the label moves because of how hard it is to do artist development and to manage other people when you're trying to, like, just exactly what he's saying. Like, if you're still trying to pursue and do stuff yourself, it's really hard to, like, put a ton of effort into the development of other people. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like if you do it from an angle of where... like a modern day label to where you're just kind of using the said artist exposure a little bit.
But you're your own machine that he was talking
about. Exactly. If you're your own machine in that aspect, I think that maybe it would be okay. You know what I mean? But like just, yeah, I kind of agree.
Is it fair to say that artists now know that before they sign an artist, they're expecting the artist to come in as their own machine because of social media and the likes and, there had to be a reason for them to go to them, right? So yeah. I'm thinking a lot of the artists now are coming into these late. Like, what's my girl's name that you talked about to sign to Yo Gotti?
Lorilla.
Right. She had to have been doing something.
I mean, she has a hot song. She has one of the hottest songs in the country right now.
And is her following matches that, right?
Yeah.
So she will probably fall under the category of being her own machine. So Gotti wouldn't have to... you know, do what Lone is talking about.
Yeah. No, you know for sure. I mean? Yeah. If you have your own machine, then just like, now there's an artist that Russ has signed. There's two of them that Russ has signed, but obviously Russ is super independent, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But he signed two people. There's one dude, he's a black rapper. And then there's a white woman that won one of his challenges.
I remember reading that.
Yeah.
But they both
Kate something.
But they
got bands or.
But they both have like huge followings, and they both are doing their own thing. Like they're following Russ's like the way that he exactly. So I feel like if you do it in that manner, and then every once in a while you can bank on Russ to do something, I think it's okay. But there is something to be said to where like there's only so much that like. An artist. What else was Meth kind of saying in that besides like...
Well, he just was... What Meth's... The basis of it was he doesn't think that an artist can thrive if they're signed to another artist label because of what we talked about. Like, there's just too much stuff going on, what you talked about when you start the label. Now, when Math and the rest of the guys in the shop started naming Drake and Wayne and going through that, Meth kind of jumped in and was like, yeah, I feel you, but they probably have... staffs that help with that also.
Yeah, and there's always exceptions. Like that's right. There's nothing is like just black and white on and off, you know, like there's always going to be that one person that, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it is the simple fact that some people take more initiative and mm-hmm. more people don't just kind of bank on somebody's celebrity status mm-hmm. or already to help push them. Maybe they're like, no, I still got to keep doing my thing. But this to me, I don't even know if this is really necessarily like artist thing, because labels would shelve artists. This has been going back for decades, you know,
and they were shelving people based off of the artist development area though,
right?
Which is essentially, it equates to having your own thing popping right now,
right?
Is essentially the artist development area. But Conway actually spoke about being signed to Shady Records and not having a whole lot of interaction with Eminem.
Right.
And that he was closer to, what did he say? It was somebody else he was saying he was closer to.
That versus, was on that label?
Or somewhere involved or around there than he was with M. He was like, I might have sat down with M a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? So
is only the management level, you mean?
Right. Mm. So if you're in a position like that to where you're thinking, me being signed to Shady is about to change my life.
Right.
And then you get there and it's like nothing's going on. I mean, you can even think about Dr. Dre with Aftermath.
Yeah.
He had, at one point in time, he had Eminem, Rakim, Busta Rhymes, yeah. Eve. Eve was on Aftermath before she was Rough Riders.
True.
He ended up having to jump ship. But
a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I was think Freddie Gibbs was a part of some.
Freddie Gibbs was on CTE.
Yeah, but it was before that. Jeezy. I think it was before that, though.
I don't know.
If it was a smaller stint. I think you're right.
No, that's what I mean. It wasn't something like that lasted longer. He even got like pushed out, but he was like, maybe I could be getting him mixed up. With
he had a stint.
Else. Talking like 2007, 2008.
Freddie had a stint with Def Jam first before.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
When he was putting out, I thought Jeezy was on Def Jam anyway.
But Def Jam South or something?
Yeah.
I'm talking about just Def Jam before he went to the CTE imprint. Like he just,
I see.
He had a little stint with Def Jam, just a regular Def Jam. But nah, man, it's an interesting.
It depends, yeah. Obviously, it doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
So, Method Man can be talking from experience, maybe.
Good.
With being signed to Wu-Tang, but the thing about what GZA did, or RZA,
yeah,
he let them sign wherever they wanted to, so he didn't hold them hostage to just work under that same umbrella.
Right.
So that may be why Method Man sees it as maybe that might be a crutch if you're signed to an artist and you can't really do you because they're so worried about doing them. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't see it like that, but I mean, I can see it both ways.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, if there's a choice between signing with a really good label that has like great management and knows how to push you out there versus like just a name, I would always choose like the people that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
More security.
Well, not even well, maybe, but I feel
structure is maybe what I mean to say. More structure.
I feel like it's competition. It's their thing. It's like their thing.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's my thing to just manage artists, then you're probably going to want to hire me to manage you than Drake.
Yeah.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, or maybe not, because Drake just off him alone is going to be able to,
he's going
to
get you in position.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that's what I mean. Like somebody that is a rapper that has a little bit of clout, because they're not going to like work it, you know? So I feel like in that aspect, it makes sense to.
Or be to worried about you outshining them. And that's how Young Money was able to flourish, because Lil Wayne wasn't worried about anybody outshining him. He wanted everybody to be dope.
And he
went away and
Weezy.
Did his bid. Went away and did his bid, and they carried the torch for him.
True.
So, I mean, it just worked out that way for them.
Shout out to Smooth Hoosier. He literally just said that in the chat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He said, everyone won't let you shine like Michael Bivins did with Boyz II Men.
Hey, it's true. There you go.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
So.
And he let them eat.
Oh, yeah.
Boyz II Men.
He would be forgetting how instrumental that Mike Bivins was in their career.
Yeah, they ate. I'm talking about, they ate good. I've never heard Boyz II Men speak ill of Michael Bivins that I know. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe y'all saw an interview or somebody in the chat can correct me, but I've never heard them say anything bad about Michael Bivins.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah.
He put them in a position to win.
And they Boyz II Men, low-key, turned into their own machine.
They absolutely did.
You know what I mean?
When you think about late 90s,
yeah.
If you ain't thinking about Jodeci or late 90s, Drew Hill,
yeah.
You, shit. I said it again.
Let's think this
but,
too
long. But Boyz II Men, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boyz II Men was solid, but like, you like them, the crooning.
Come on.
And the whining, whining, yay.
Come on, man. We're not about to disrespect Boyz II Men.
It ain't
man.
Disrespect when it's the truth.
I feel you.
You know, because when you sing about a woman that did you completely wrong,
come on,
and you
let's
don't
not
care.
Do this, man. Let's not do this. That's
come
a good
on,
record, though.
It's a good record.
You like it?
I do.
All right.
But still, when you really sit down and listen to you, like, or is that the decision you're going to make, Mike?
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Really?
The song, but the song, it's a good song, man.
End of the Road is a song we're talking about, people.
End of the world. It's a lot of yeah, they singing about some stuff.
A lot of simping going on in there.
Yo, it's just like they played it out on the Living Color skit. The exact same thing.
Man, I don't know if I'm going out like that.
I don't know if I can go out like that either, but you know, they turned it into a good record, man. That's all I'm gonna say.
I mean, they was in their bag. They was making good records back
most
then.
Most slept on Boyz II Men record.
The most slept on Boyz II Men record?
And it was a single, but I still don't think it gets the love. Is the one where Water Runs Dry when it was out on the
beach. That wasn't no slept on record.
I don't think
that
it
was
gets
a
the
hit record.
I don't think it get the P's like the rest of them, though. Nah, End of man. The Road. What's the biggest singles? It don't get love like Motown Philly. It don't get love like. I have to pull the two album up. The two albums.
So you made me
the
forget the one I was thinking when you hit me with the water. I mean, you
Water
hit me
Runs
with
Dry
hit.
Was fire though.
That's a hit song.
You think it get the love like
Man, that's a hit song, right, man.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know if you get the love like
Please Don't Go Away is a song that don't get the love.
I see. I think people home on that one.
I don't know.
It's Lone's ring. Lone, ain't that your ring? Never mind.
I think it'd be more likely to be your ring.
All right, man.
Yeah, you tripping on Water Runs Dry.
Maybe I'm tripping,
the
man.
Hit song, man. That record might have been a diamond single.
Might have been a diamond single. Yo, maybe I'm tripping out there, world. I apologize. I just did. I don't know, man. I never hear that one. Man, I'll Make Love to You was way bigger than that.
That was on the radio all the time.
But, like, bro, I'll Make Love to You on Bended Knee are bigger, way bigger than Water Runs
come
Dry.
Come on, man.
You sure?
It's like a three-pack, man.
Yeah.
It like really kind of is.
Yeah,
like,
you don't miss them. Them are not misses.
All right.
I used to.
Now, the one that I mentioned is one that don't get. Please Don't Go Away is not.
That's a banger.
That is not a song that was played
what
like that.
What album was that off of?
Their first
That's
one?
The first one.
Motown Philly.
And Thank You is one to call this intro. I'm
thank
sorry.
Thank you.
It ain't sound like that, but well, yeah, it did.
If you sign up for our Patreon, that's literally the video that plays.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I think that is. I don't know.
Is that the noise when we get a new sign?
If the flood's in there, he'll be able to tell us. It's like a link pops up and it's just like that video of them doing that song.
Shout out to Dallas Austin, who actually said in an interview that Boyz II Men was trash to work with. And they used to
use auto-tune.
No, they used to, around this time, he said, coming off the first album, you couldn't tell them anything. They wanted to produce
somebody
all the
records. Somebody else said that. Who was that? It was a Candy from Escape said that Boyz II Men was trash to work with.
Word?
Yeah.
I know Dallas Austin said around this time, the two album, he said you couldn't work with them. He said they wanted to produce everything, and they were trying to tell him how to produce, and that's why he only did just the intro and wrote out.
Well, it worked out for them.
Dallas Austin is a wrestler, right?
Nah, man. He was a hit producer back in the day.
He was also a wrestler, though, right? Who am I thinking of?
No, you're thinking of Dallas.
Diamond Dallas Page,
yeah.
My bad.
Yo, Dallas Austin, we apologize, man. It's all right. We don't get him
he
in the comments,
hand
y'all.
He worked with like TLC, and
yeah. He
was big on the early Atlanta sound with LaFace.
Yeah, he's
gotcha.
Preceded Jermaine Dupri and all that, if I'm not mistaken. Don't get
his
him
little
in.
Brother was in Another Bad Creation. He wasn't really in it. He was like the extra dude in Another Bad Creation.
The one that was like playing, he was the DJ or something like that?
Yeah, he was just the one that said their names and had a bullhorn or something. I don't know.
I see the Flood said longevity with the disrespect to Dallas. Hey, Flood, that's why I was telling, man. No, don't run him out of business, bro. It was just an honest mistake, man. So shout out to Diamond Dallas. Shout out to Diamond Dallas Page, though.
Hey, for real. And, the Diamond Cutter.
Yeah, the Diamond Cutter. Yeah. WCW, we see y'all. I know it's gone now, but we see y'all.
World Championship Wrestling. Anyways.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right.
Hip-hopper. I won by myself. I don't need Elizabeth.
Yo.
Hip-hop?
What is going on right now?
Oh, shout yeah.
Out, and shout out to Goldust. If y'all know who that is, Goldust was that dude.
Movie, he was not right? That dude.
He was nice, though.
I ain't never liked
Goldust. You ain't like his antics, but
man,
he
I ain't like
nice.
Him at all. He, just look at him when he come out. It's like, man, what is this, man? I don't want to see this dude.
He did have gold dust though in his hand.
He was trash.
He looked like CeeLo when he got all dressed up.
He did. Yeah, he
looked
good
like
call.
A big overgrown CeeLo.
Yeah.
CeeLo with long
like a,
hair.
CeeLo looked like a fool in that outfit. I'm sorry.
So did gold dust.
All right, man. Let's get the hip hop producer GOAT conversation that we have tried to expedite as we continue to go up the list.
See, let's pull this up here.
Well, this is gonna be interesting because we got a.
Uh oh, it's just me.
Huh?
Hold on, let me.
We got the late great Shock G is up next.
There we go.
So I have his discography. I'll kind of run through that while Lone is
Good. Go ahead and start.
You good?
Producing.
Yeah, you can go ahead through.
All right, so Shock G, we all know Shock G, and rest in peace to the OG. Went through the discography. We all know Sex Package. He produced the whole album. So, you know, that right there alone is, we know what that album
That's
was.
That's classic.
Yeah.
I don't really know that. Who is this?
Digital Underground.
Digital Underground.
Oh, yeah. I was never really huge in the digital. That's kind of before my time a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm it was like 89, 90, 91.
Yeah, early, yeah. You know, Pac was a roadie with them, and, you know, he got on that same song and destroyed it, and it was a rap. So
that was even after Sex Packets.
Show us.
Because yep. That was featured on the soundtrack of...
What's the Dan Aykroyd movie, Long?
Where Which
the,
one?
I hate you.
Trading Places.
No, man. Terry's right. I can't think of the name of the movie, though. But it was a Dan Aykroyd joint, right?
Yeah.
He was in the movie.
Anyway. I can't remember the movie, but Dan Aykroyd had paint all on their face.
You don't remember that movie?
Prosthetics.
Early 90s.
Coneheads?
No, not Coneheads.
Nah.
Before Coneheads.
Prosthetics.
Yeah, he looked weird in the...
Who else was in it?
Some other people.
Oh, you talk... I'll have to look it up. Yeah.
Go to Dan Aykroyd's movie page, early 90s.
I'll figure that out, yeah.
All right, so...
Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. That's
the
movie.
The Flood. Thank you.
Thank you. The Flood is on it. Appreciate you. All right, man. So there's more Digital Underground. And then we start getting into some Pac records. Rebel of the Underground. Words of Wisdom. Let's see.
What I Want to Do for Love, Tupac.
Yep. I Get Around. Come on, man. You already know what that is. That's huge. Let's see. So Many Tears.
Uh-oh, Bobby Brown.
Getaway remix. Yep. He's got joints with the Loonies. Let's see.
Did his production reign kind of stop like in the 90s, though?
As I go through, I believe, late 90s, I believe you're right. Let's see. He has some of these artists. Okay, let's see.
Prince,
that's big. Love Sign, 1998. Let's see. He got a Mac Mall joint in 2001. KRS-One got a joint with MERS in 2002. Yeah, it stops in 2004 alone, and the rest of it is just guest appearances. So his joints with Pac are the iconic joints. Obviously, his work with Digital Underground is iconic. Bobby Brown remix, you can throw that in there, working with the Loonies. Out to the West Coast. I think those are the highlights. And Terry, you can see the list as well.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something. Yeah.
How Many Tears, Tupac.
That's big.
Man.
That's big. That's real big. I Get Around.
I Woke Up and Screamed at the World. They try to say it.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite albums ever.
That it is. But yeah, he's those records are legendary. Now, you know, he might get hogtied on some of the other categories, but he got some iconic records. Let's go ahead and go into our list. As we always do with the criteria for Shock G, influence, impact on peers and upcoming producers.
I'm going to give him a 9.
You give him a 9?
Okay. On influence. I mean, he kind of was one of them G-Funk pioneers, honestly.
I'm not mad at that. I think I'm going to go
go 7.
He sampled a lot of...
I was going to go 7 too.
Early. He sampled a lot of Parliament Funkadelic stuff early.
Yeah.
Which kind of led Dr. Dre and them down that same rabbit hole.
I ain't mad at that.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that influence right there.
Dre just was on steroids with it, took it to the next level.
That's why I have to give him a 9 on the influence.
I'm going to go 7, Long.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7, too. You want me to?
Oh, yeah. Let me see if it lets me enter. I don't know why. I should
have
checked.
Oh, you having that issue?
Yeah, I should have checked with you before. That's my bad.
What'd you say, Terry?
I said 9.
Okay.
We'll do that next week for sure to make sure I got access.
No, it's okay.
How versatile are the hip-hop records?
Versatile?
He's in the same lane a lot.
I'll probably say about a...
But you have to think of time period, too, a little bit.
Yeah, that's true, because you don't have 7. As much to work with.
I'll go 7. On
7?
I'll say 7 on that, too.
I'll go 7 with y'all. That's fair. I'll go 7 with y'all.
Bye.
Collaborators, different hip-hop styles of artists, producers, works. So we said Loonies. He had a Prince joint thrown in there.
Not hip-hop, though.
And who else? Well, Pac, obviously, Digital Underground, Mac Maul.
Saphir.
Yep.
Bobby Brown, not hip-hop.
Not hip-hop.
I'll say Loonies, 7.
KRS-One, MERS.
I'm about to say 6 on collaborators.
Okay. I'm going to go 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go... I don't know. I have to throw a time period in there. I'm going to go 7. I feel like it's a little bit different, harder to...
Yeah, I guess you're
right. I can appreciate that.
I'm going to go with 7, too.
Yeah, I can appreciate that you take that in consideration.
I think you have to.
Yeah, that's dope. Big hits, cult classics from the producer. Now, we named some huge records.
I'm going to go 8.
Yeah, I'm feeling 8 on this one. Those are timeless records. The big ones are timeless records.
I can agree with you guys on that.
Consistency, quality of the material released.
7.
I'm going to go 6. The highs are high, but.
Yeah. I'll go 7 too, actually.
Okay.
7.
Body of work. How great is the overall body of work?
I'm giving him an 8.
Yeah. I don't think I'm mad at an 8. We can do that.
I'm going to go 7.
I'll do 8. How often are the songs great for their beats, final product?
I'm going to go 7.
He's living in that 7 mark.
Yeah. I can't argue with 7, bro.
Because he's better than average. You know what I'm saying?
He is better than average.
That's what I mean. Like,
I'm not mad at that. You say 7 too long?
Yeah.
All right, melodic elements. Use samples or originals? I didn't know he played the piano on
Get busy on melodies.
Yeah, his key game is high. Way higher 8. Than I thought.
I'm going to say 8 on melodies.
I'm gonna give him a strong. I'm going to go 9. I was impressed with him on the keys. I didn't know he could play piano like that.
He had a song on his first album called The Piano Man.
True.
How great were the melodies, though? Outside of being able to play them.
Like, I'll put it to you this way. He wasn't, as Ninth Wonder says, tink tinking.
Nah, he wasn't. the sample game is out of this world, honestly.
Tink tinking.
He wasn't tink tinking on the piano. I say that.
I'll go 8.
I can vouch for him on that.
Drums, I'll go 6.
I'll go 7 on drums.
Yeah, I'm going to say 7 on drums.
Man, Ninth Wonder be saying tink tink.
He said he's not just tink tinking. I saw that clip. There's playing and then there's playing. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ninth was upset, boy. They talking about the producer.
No, Shock G was a solid producer, man.
Facts. Let's see what his score. Well, it's only 3 of us, but he got a 7.3.
7.3 is solid for Shock G.
Yeah, that's respectable. He did not get hogtied.
And then, I like how you brought up. You have to consider the era that he produced in.
Yes.
Which would weigh who he worked with. You know what I'm saying? So
he worked with a lot of people for his era.
Yeah.
You know, so. And he's super slept on.
Yeah.
Like, super, absolutely. Super slept on.
I'm glad. I'm going to have to remember that from a context standpoint as we continue. That's a good point.
I mean, even his style, like creating the character Humpty Hump, is based off of Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
Sir Knows the Funk. So,
and they kind of had that vibe with their live show.
Yeah,
remember
definitely.
How crazy their live show was?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pac was a background dancer and a roadie. You know what I'm saying?
They had the game on lock for a little minute.
Facts. Okay. All right, man. So do we have time long for Mike Will Made It? Because you know his discography is going to be.
I'd say we probably hold that one.
We got
about,
hold that one. We got about a minute left for the show. So
well, I guess we'll
tuck that one until next week.
Because his discography is going to be stupid.
Yeah, we can hold off on that. So who we got coming up here? We got DJ Paul, Juicy J.
That's gonna be good.
Michael Made It, Crisis, Darren. Yeah. G. Now we're getting into some of the guys.
DJ Topes coming up. That's now we getting in there. Warren G, Illmind, Pimp.
I'm gonna say Shock G is better than Warren G.
I would agree. You like Shock G.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
he's always been an advocate for Sex Package, though.
You also like early Tupac stuff.
Yeah.
And Shock G's all over that.
Yeah.
In multiple ways.
Warren G is going to be interesting. I'll just say that. I'm thinking Terry is right, but I'm gonna have to look at it on paper to make sure.
Without Shock G, is Warren G really a producer? Because I mean he took those same elements that Shock G was doing, kind of introduced to the world and created the G-Funk era.
You made a good point about the G-Funk. You made a good point. Dre just took it out this world.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at that. All right, y'all. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, newoldheads.com for all the education you need this year. Shout out to the chat, too. We appreciate you guys for being live and active this week and giving us some good comments. We really appreciate it. Stick around for the post show. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Minute. Erp.